Dragging the rope behind me, I took up my position in the middle of the open gate. Nothing would pass through that gate without my permission, and since I had no intention of giving my permission, it followed, through simple logic, that nothing would pass through the gate. As I waited for the lines of battle to take shape, I heard a familiar voice, the insolent whine of a certain cat. He had ventured out from under the pickup and was licking himself beside the right front tire.
Hi, Hanky. You never did catch me, did you?
There's a reason for that, Kitty. I lost interest in your particular brand of foolishness and had more important things to do than chase a rinky-dink cat around the ranch. As a matter of fact, I have more important things to do than talk to a rinky-dink cat.
Well, you should just quit talking.
I will, I did, I am. That's what I just said.
But you're still talking.
Of course I am, for the simple reason that it's not possible for me to tell you that I'm not talking to you without telling you.
He looked up and smiled.
But you're still talking.
No, quite the contrary. I've made it very plain that I'm breaking off all communication with you.
But you keep talking about it, Hanky.
I pushed myself up on all fours and swaggered over to him. Are you trying to get me into an argument?
Certainly not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But I want you to know, Cat, that I'm not so easily fooled.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I will not, cannot, and shall not be lured into an argument with a sniveling, insignificant, insolent, two-bit, rinky-dink cat. Because I have better things to do.
No, you do.
Yes, I don't.
No, you do.
Yes, I don't. I don't have anything better to do than...
I had somehow lost the thread of the argument, although we weren't exactly arguing, because I have said my last word on the subject.
You have?
Yes.
Oops, there's another one.
That wasn't a word.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not a word.
Yes, it was a word.
I don't want to argue about it, Hanky.
Well, that's too bad, because when you try to play with the big boys, you better be prepared to defend yourself.
May I ask you a question, Hanky?
No.
Good, because I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
I gave him a growl.
Ask the question, Cat, and be quick about it.
Promise not to argue?
I promise nothing to the likes of you. I'll argue any time I choose. Now ask the question.
He licked his paw.
What were you doing in the middle of the gate?
That's simple, Cat. I was...
Huh? I glanced to my left and saw that cattle were, so to speak, passing through the gate. Suddenly, all the clues began... I turned back to Pete, and this time I was ready to sweep the ranch with his mangy carcass, but he was sitting under the pickup, grinning at me and flicking his tail back and forth. Let that be a lesson to you, Cat. And I rushed back to my combat position. Even though I was stepped on three times and horned once, I fought my way through the stream of moronic cows, seized control of the gate, set up a strong defensive position, and began barking. A small number of animals, perhaps 8 or 10, had slipped through my lines before I got there, but that was a small price to pay for my triumph over the cat. Yes, Benny the Imposter had scored a few points on me, but it was still early in the game. I barked. I snapped. I snarled. I gave them old sookies the full 9 yards of defensive strategy. In a matter of seconds, I had them milling in front of the gate. And 1 minute into the maneuver, they turned south and broke into a wild stampede. Oh, success! Oh, triumph! Oh, happy day! Single-handedly, with nothing but guts and brains and brute strength, I had foiled Benny the Imposter's plot, saved the ranch, and rescued my reputation from the edge of the brink. And best of all, Miss Scamper had watched the entire battle from her box seat in the pickup bed. I would have died 1,000 deaths to see that sparkle in her eyes, but fortunately, that wasn't necessary.
Well, I had cleaned up another mess and was about to go strutting over to bask in Miss Scamper's adoring gaze when I noticed a lone horseman riding my way, perhaps to congratulate me on my triumph over Benny the Imposter. Was High Loper. He was riding hard. He was swinging his rope. He was yelling naughty words. He appeared to be. In this line of work, it's virtually impossible to please everyone all the time. Sometimes in the course of accomplishing one objective, a guy runs afoul of other objectives, and this appeared to be, okay, let's get it over with. Loper was mad, furious, and I had reason to suspect that his anger was directed at, well, me. I began to suspect this when he came thundering towards me, shouting evil things and swinging his rope.
You idiot dog, get out of that gate!
I have said many times that Hank the cow dog can take a hint. That's the truth. It's been true for years, and it remains true to this very day. Okay, I wasn't wanted there in the gate? Fine, I would just leave. I left, taking the shortest distance between two points, which happened to be right between the legs of the colt. Had I remembered that I was dragging a 10-foot rope, I might have chosen a different route, for even though Loper had threatened my life and shouted wicked things about me, I had no wish to frighten his colt and get him. It's a well-known fact in ranch circles that many green colts are afraid of ropes, especially ropes dragged between their. It's a rare colt indeed that will stand still for such a thing, and this particular colt, whose name was Jughead, did not even come close to standing still. I happened to be looking back over my shoulder and saw the entire incident. All four of Jughead's legs went out in different directions, and his neck somehow wrapped around the underside of his chest, so that I caught a glimpse of his moon-shaped eyes looking back at me through the corridor of his legs. An instant later, his back end shot skyward, and poor Loper, who was still shaking his fist at me, went along with it. The colt's rear end came back down, but Loper didn't. He flew out of his stirrups, arched over the saddle lot gate, and entered the saddle shed without opening the door, so to speak. It wasn't a heavy door or very fancy, made of 3/8 plywood, as I recall, and he went right through it, made quite a crash. Well, naturally, I was concerned. I mean, Loper and I have had our differences over the years, but still, we worked for the same outfit and certain bonds, so I stopped to see how badly he was hurt. I thought about rushing to his side and licking his face. Sometimes that helps, you know. He picked himself up off the floor and staggered to the door and looked out. His hat was on crooked. He saw me and leveled a finger at me. And here's what he said to his loyal friend and companion, the dog who had stopped to check on his condition.
Where's my gun? Bring me a gun, if I had a gun.
Well, that was good enough for me. I wasn't foolish enough to suppose that he wanted to go quail hunting at that time of the morning, so I turned south and headed for the timber along the creek. Seemed to me this might be a good time to vanish for a while. Little did I know what trouble lay in store for me.